Remain standing for the reading of God's word this evening from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. These instructions that Paul brings to the Ephesians as he writes them this letter that he wrote to them. Again, Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. This is the life the Ephesians were called to walk in. This is God's word. Give your attention to it. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it and its preaching. You may be seated. Well, look at the life that the Ephesians are called to. A life that's unlike the life that they once lived before. No longer like how they once used to live. A life that's truly new. They're to put on a new self, Paul tells them. Where their old life kept them in mental futility, darkened and alienated from God. They're to walk now before God in newness of life, finding purpose in walking uprightly in the truth. Where before they were given to practice impurity, greedy for pleasure and gross sensuality, now they're to walk in the opposite way, now with purity, not in that old impure way of life. Where before they had comfortably walked in these ways, now they must see all of this as their old self and regard this old self as corrupt and deceitful, as someone they no longer are, since they're new people. They're now to see themselves as new in Christ, as new selves who are renewed in their minds and their spirits, as those who've been newly created to live in God's likeness and in true holiness and righteousness. All this is part of how they're called to live now, as people redeemed by the work of the Savior. This way of life is the way that they've learned Christ. That's how Paul describes it there in verse 20 of the text. Having come to God through faith in the gospel, these people Paul writes to are now called to live in a new way of life, to depart from their old lives. They are to put on these new selves they've been given. But notice the challenges to living this new life. How easy is it to change your whole life, to change your whole life into a whole new direction? That's what Paul is telling them that they need to do here. To cut off what's their past and to leave it the past. To regard now their present as having no room for the past. Now to live like they're no longer, no more, what they once used to be. As if those old ways of life now have no place in their lives. Is that something that's easy? To cut off your past? To regard it as having no place in the present? To live like the ways that you once used to live in have no place now in your life now in the present? And what about when people who knew you from before still regard you as if you're that same person. Expect you to be that same person you once were. Remember when that way of life was your natural state. Will it be easy when you're with such people to view your old life as just that, your old life? Or else won't it be easy to slip right back into the way of life others expect to be true of you? Changing your way of life never is easy. The years get built up of strong patterns of doing things. People expect you to stay who you are. Who you've been is who people expect you to be. People expect your past to determine your present. Such expectations can be hard to break. Sometimes we ourselves expect we are who we've been, and our own expectations can be hard to break. But this is what Paul does call his readers to do, to no longer walk in the ways they used to walk, to no longer be who they were before they had faith, to put off their old self and put on a new self. It's granted it's difficult. If it were easy, Paul wouldn't have had to instruct them to do it. If it had come naturally, there'd be no need for Paul to exhort them. They'd already just do it. The question is, how can they manage to do this? And will they be able to do it when it's hard? When there are times when they are tempted to just go ahead and revert to who they used to be, how are they to hold fast and maintain this as true of them? That they are new people because of Christ. That the old self is no longer who they will be, and the new self they're given is now their true self. Well, Paul here points them to something that's key to their new life, that's key to them putting on this new self here, and it's something suggested in verse 23 and in verse 24 of this text in Ephesians. The key is, in 23, that they're to be renewed. And in verse 24, that they're created. Now, what this means is that they are to regard themselves as though renewed and as though they're created. But what this means is that it's God who's renewed them, and it's God who's created them to live in this new way. How will they be able to live this new life? It's only by God's work that they can be new people. Without God working, they can't be new people. And to think that they are, if they're not, is delusion. But since God has worked in them, they are new people. And they have to trust that they are what God says that he's made them. And that's what it means then to put on the new self. It means trusting in God's work that he's done, by which he declares he has made them new people in Christ who can live a new way. To put on the new self is to take God at his word, to believe his promise when he says that he has renewed them, that he has made them a new creation. Putting on the new self is to rely not on their strength to become new people for God, but on God's strength and God's power, which he has promised them. It means to bank on God's promise. God says you are new in Christ, so live like that's true of you and believe it. So what this means is that to fulfill the command of verses 23 and 24 is to put trust in God's work of making them new, and to trust God at his word when he tells them that this is his purpose for them. To be renewed in the way Paul instructs is to trust that God has in fact worked his renewal. To put on the new self is to believe that through Christ, God has indeed made them into new people. And so here is how the Ephesians must live, with great trust in God's work that's renewed and created them. Trusting that he has renewed them and made them new, they, out of trust in him, must live like they are renewed. And their act of trusting that God is at work in them will lead them to live the ways that he's called them to. If they believe that he has made them new, then they will strive to live like being renewed and being created is what is true of them. And this is what Paul calls them to do and calls them to be. Now, the Ephesians here are a part of God's larger plan to redeem a new people in Christ by his grace, a new people saved from their old lifestyle of sin and transformed to live after God's image in righteousness. God has a plan to bring to himself people who once lived in sin and who once loved unrighteousness, yet who have been made new by God's grace in Christ, made into people who now follow God and his ways. The Ephesians of our text are one group of those whom God has changed, out of a multitude of many to be changed by God's grace. People transformed from bearing the image of Adam to those who are made holy by God's grace through Christ. And what does it take to be included in that group? It takes the same thing that it took the Ephesians. It takes faith in Christ, true belief in the gospel. Whoever trusts Christ is made new by God's working. Whoever trusts Christ has been renewed by God. And whoever trusts Christ is created by God to live no longer in the old self, but to live in the new self that has been given to them through Christ. Whoever trusts Christ has been made known, has been made new to serve God with a new righteousness. And if this is true of you, beloved, if you've been made new through Christ's work for you, well, then you ought to press forward into that new life that God is at work working in you. You should have confidence that his work in you will indeed prevail in the end. You shouldn't doubt that there will come a day when God will complete what he has begun in you, and that God's work will determine your future holiness, no matter what your old life might have been. See, the call here for Christians to put on a new self, it is a call to walk by faith in God's promise. God has promised that he is making us righteous. We ought to walk like we are trusting him at his word on this. But what this means is that we strive now to live in that way of life God says he's fitting us for. It means living now like what we expect we will be, with our expectations set by what God promises. But also, because of God's promises to us, there's comfort in what he'll do for us at last. Because this new life in the end is his creation, that means he will finish it on the last day. It means God will complete that which God has begun in us. It means though it is hard now for us to live in this new way, there's a day coming when it won't be hard anymore. There's a day coming when God's work will be perfected. Yes, a day is coming soon when we'll be truly holy, with holiness that's been perfected by God, such that holiness no longer will be a struggle, for then it will come naturally. It will be our nature. And when that day comes, the old lifestyle of sin will be nothing but memory, distant, forgotten, a piece of our past that we'll no longer know. And that old self will feel like someone else we can't even recognize. On that day that's to come, we will know the new self as our true self in ways that we haven't even experienced yet. We will know what it is to love righteousness perfectly, and we'll know this by what will become by God's grace. And then when we arrive at that day with such holiness, We will then turn to direct all praise to God as the one who has made us holy. We will recognize that it's not we ourselves who made ourselves holy. We will recognize that it is God and his grace that has made us holy for that day. And then we'll take the new life that he's completed in us and we'll use it to serve him. See, the key to understanding Paul's instructions to Christians, these particular instructions, the newness of the new self, is to understand that the new life that Paul here is writing about is a taste of the life that we'll have in eternity, given in advance. For all those who have true faith in Jesus Christ, we have gained a taste now of the life that will be ours, and this by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is what Paul calls the Ephesians to begin to live now the way we'll live forever, to live in that new self that's been granted ahead of its time as a gift in advance that's a taste of the future for all who are trusting in Jesus Christ, living now in what we will be by God's grace. And so, beloved, with the promise of God's work in us, knowing that we've been renewed through Christ, knowing that he's begun a work of new creation in us, what this gives us is confidence to live now in such a way that we can make every effort to put off our old selves now and to put on the new self in Christ. Yes, we have every reason to trust that God will indeed finish the work that he started in us. And yet, rather than letting that make us complacent, we have every reason instead to strive to be holy. For if we believe that one day we'll be perfect, and that this is sure, since God has promised this, then it makes sense to strive towards this as an act of faith, to seek to be now what we are trusting we will be in the future by God's grace. Oh, beloved, hear those instructions that Paul gives to the Ephesians and understand that they are directed to you. And as you look forward to the coming day when God will perfect his work in you, may you look in faith to what he has begun in you and also to what he will complete in you. And may it indeed please him to increase his work in you. May it please him to increase this work of true righteousness and true holiness advanced in us as the fruit of his work of creation, so that when the day comes that we are waiting for, we will arrive filled with fruits of his righteousness that have been worked in us through Christ. And may this be true all for the glory of his name, and may he bring us to that day safely. Amen. Well, let's pray.